Those of you who have known me for some time know that I'm not usually at a loss for words, at least about most things, but there are a couple of topics that I always try to avoid talking about, like the plague. And those of you who have been doing the book study as part of our parish on the four signs of a dynamic Catholic know that the chapter that was up for this week was on generosity, which involves one of the topics that I absolutely hate to talk about, and hopefully we'll never have to talk about ever again, but we are going to at least try to brave our way through it today. When I was a kid, my mom used to ask me three questions before I left the house for church. Have you gone to the bathroom? Do you have your Bible? And do you have your envelope? Okay. Now, even though I only got $5 a week for my allowance, it was expected that I was to give 10% to God, because that's what the Bible said we should do. All of the studies talk about how Protestants give more than Catholics to their churches, partially because they know that if they don't, their church won't last for long. Catholics have always been a bit more uncomfortable when it comes to talking about money in church. I mean, we do have a preferential option for the poor, after all. And our religious men and women, although I would like to point out not diocesan priests, make an evangelical vow of poverty. When I became a Catholic, I was always surprised to hear Catholics complain that their priest always talked about money, because there were Protestant churches I knew of growing up that would put your name on a wall of shame if you didn't cough up enough to the collection plate, okay? Don't worry, I have no idea of doing that at Prince of Peace. I don't want to be run out of here on a rail. Okay? As I moved into priestly ministry, I was shocked at how much it actually costs to keep our parishes running. I mean, it really is incredible. When you start looking at how much it costs to do what we Catholics do in our parishes, schools, hospitals, and other charitable institutions, and how much Catholics actually give, I am convinced that the Lord's multiplication of the loaves and fishes continues to happen on a daily basis. Okay? And praise God for that. Okay? Sometimes I think in church we have a tendency to talk about money in terms for tit for tat. Okay? We need to do X or build Y. It costs Z, so Father is going to annoy you until we have enough money to do X or build Y. Okay? Does that sound familiar? Okay. I even went to a conference this summer where we were told that it is Father's duty to wine and dine the rich so he has enough money to feed the poor and educate school children. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but when I read my Bible, I did not see Jesus telling the 12 apostles to do that. Okay? I did read Jesus telling his disciples to go forth and teach all nations. And the central message of the gospel is the really simple news that God is good. He's good all the time. The more that we reflect on God, we see that the way he manifests his goodness is by his generosity. He doesn't have to do anything, but he does. As Matthew Kelly points out in his book that we've been reading, creation is generous. Free will is generous. Life is generous. Love is generous. God's generosity demands a response. Are we like him in this regard? Does the fact that we are created in the image and likeness of God extend to our generosity to him and others? And the more we see the goodness of God, the more we see how different the world can be. Quote from Matthew Kelly, God invites us to a life of gratitude while the world fosters discontent. God proposes trust. The world arouses fear. God promotes giving. The world promotes getting. God invites us to cooperate with His providence while the world rallies behind self-determinism. God appoints us in stewardship while the world touts ownership. God invites us to look out for our neighbor. The world tells us to look out for ourselves. God created us out of generosity to live generous lives. The world encourages us to lead a small, selfish life. Last week, you'll remember that I said, I have never met anyone who said, you know, Father, I want to be a worse person. Okay, remember I said, if you ever find someone like that, then I want to meet them. Okay, I want to see this. This week, okay, I can say that I have never met anyone who has said, you know, Father, I wish I wasn't so loving and generous. Okay? I think all of us have a general desire to be more generous. But how do we make that desire into a reality? As Fulton Sheen once said, never measure your generosity by what you give, but by what you have left. If we see ourselves not as owners of everything and everyone around us, but as stewards of God's gifts, we want to share all that we have. On the first Sunday of this series, we mentioned the sobering statistic that 7% of Catholics are responsible for 80% of the volunteer hours and 80% of the financial contributions in any given Catholic parish. But 100% of us want to be more generous. So how do we get from 7% to 100%? Like with prayer and study that we talked about in the last 2 weeks, we have to be intentional. And like with prayer and study, it matters less how we are generous than that we are generous. It starts with being generous with God. Do we keep the Sabbath as a day of rest and worship? In Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, we read, what man would dare rob God? But if we rob him of that one day a week, what else are we robbing from God and from our neighbor? The way to make it right is to think about what we do with time, talent, and treasure. Kelly points out that we can't change how we use time, talent, and treasure to be generous if we don't measure it and see. If there are 10,080 minutes in a week, can we put down on an index card every week how many of those minutes were spent in prayer, study, and ministry? Have you ever gone into church before you went to confession to examine your conscience with your credit card bill? Okay, have you ever done that before? The more that we really examine the quantity of our generosity, the more we can be inspired to increase the quality of our generosity. We don't become more generous just because someone asks us to give and to give more often. That's putting the cart before the horse. Now, some people posit that, well, you know, if people really believe in something, then they're going to give to it or for it. And if they don't, they won't, so don't bother them. Well, there's some truth to that, but that's still not a sign of spiritual health. Becoming a dynamic Catholic, becoming a generous person, doesn't come because someone asks us to be one. A dynamic faith and generosity are fruits of a deep spiritual life lived with intention and purpose. In Romans chapter 14, Paul writes, "We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." Think about this. All of the time, talent, and treasure you have in your life has been given to you by God to do his will. When you die, you can't take any of it with you. He who dies with the most toys, well, he just dies. Jesus can't lift you up to heaven if you're weighed down with the things of earth you were called to give away. So tonight, I want you to sit down either by yourself if you live alone or with your significant other if you don't. And I want you to do two things. Okay, remember, during each one of these homilies during this series, I've given you a homework assignment. So here's tonight. Okay, number one, write down on a piece of paper 10 things that God has blessed you with and that you want to thank him for. Okay, 10 things. And number two, I want you to flip the page to the other side and estimate the following. Out of the 168 hours in a week, how many you usually give to God in prayer, study, and ministry? Out of the 10 gifts you put down on the other side of the page, which ones you have given to God? And what your weekly contribution to your parish, the bishop, and other charities amounts to? And see what percentage it is of your take-home pay each week. Okay? How much is it? Okay? Is it at least 10%? Okay? I want you to do this exercise. Okay? Don't try to do it in your head. Because I think some of you will be like, well, you know, I can kind of figure. I want you to write it down. I want you to go through the whole exercise of writing it down. Put it on your refrigerator. Okay? I want you to put it on the fridge. And just let it stay there till next Saturday. Okay? And then formulate a plan on how you're going to be generous with God the next week.